Comics.
Movies.
Music.
Video games.
Technology.
Blu-ray.
Television.
This is the HHW LOD Podcast Network.
Recording, and this is Out Now with Aaron and Abe. I am Aaron, and as always, this is
Abe. Hello.
Out Now is a film podcast, as Abe and I discussing new movies weekly. We also bring in discussion about the latest movie trailers, box office results and predictions, a callback to past films similar to our main film of the week, games, and other fun stuff. This is episode 71, and we are talking Lawless today, the new Prohibition era gangster western starring Tom Hardy, Shia LaBeouf, and directed by John Hillcoat, written by Nick Cave. So, with all that, we have two guests to discuss Lawless with us today. We have writer for the VHS Diaries, Aldo Rain himself, the man who has never said no to a second bottle of moonshine, Alan Aguilera.
It was more of a jar, not a bottle.
Okay. And we have writer for the awards circuit, one of the original Tom Hardy boys, Mark Johnson.
Hey, everyone. Good to be back.
Great. Mark, it's been a while since you've been on the show, but we're kicking into a... you know, award season now, so nice to have you back in here.
Nice to be back. Thanks.
And you know, since you've not been here, you've joined up with a new website, awardscircuit.com, correct?
Correct.
You want to talk a little bit about what that site's all about?
We pretty much do reviews on movies, trailer news, any kind of casting news, and lots of focus on the award season, primarily the Oscars.
Great.
It's a nice site for that kind of. Nice site for that kind of source of material.
Cool. And that's awards, plural, circuits.com?
Correct.
Okay. Cool. So, let's see. Let's get some announcements here. Okay, summer box office gamble. Back in May, Abe, Alan, Mark Hoban, and Adam Gentry, and myself, we all participated in our summer box office game. We all created top 10 lists of box office summer results, what we thought would be the biggest money makers of the summer. I have officially declared the summer movie season to a close, gathered all the information I needed, and tallied all the points together. So we will be having a wrap-up episode, which will Alan, Abe, Adam, Mark, and I will be recording soon, and that episode will probably go up a few days after this one. So... you know, stay tuned for that because the results will blow your mind. It will, Alan.
Wow.
Will be like, wow, my
that hurts.
Is, whoa, like it's yeah, all of that.
So, I'm ready.
Okay,
I'm ready to be at the bottom.
It's pretty cool. I'm really excited for this one. This would be fun. I think also we're all gonna kind of go over like our biggest hits and misses of the summer within that episode as well. So that should be a fun one. Looking forward to doing that. Let's see, what else? This is our episode 71, as I said. That means our 75th episode's coming up soon. We should probably do something special for that, Abe.
I think we should have, like, the Simpsons intro. Elephants, you know, all the other jazz.
I like that. I gotta put that, but yeah, the Simpsons intro, that one. I don't know what the 75th episode's going. What would that be? I don't even know. Let's see. You can edit out all my research. You can do this right now, because I'm gonna look it up right now. What would 75th episode be? It'd probably be Looper, maybe. Or the either be Looper or the week after Looper would be our 75th episode. We'll see. Oh, okay, iTunes reviews and ratings. Always good to get those. Helps out the show. Quick log on to iTunes. Add a star rating. Maybe even type a sentence if you want to. Happy to get those. It's nice to receive them, and everybody wins in that situation. So go for it, I say.
Especially if everyone wins.
Yeah. Okay, so let's get to know everybody. Each week we ask each other a few questions on the show to kind of set the tone for the podcast and better get to know everybody. And let's see, I'm going to let Alan start this one off this week.
Okay, Mark.
Yes.
What is your favorite John Hillcoat movie?
Probably The Road, if I had to pick one. I read the book for the most part, and it was the most depressing story I've ever heard, and it came off pretty decent on film. I'm a big Viggo fan as well, so I'd probably go with The Road for my favorite of his work.
I agree with the assessment of The Road. That said, The Proposition I love.
Oh, Proposition is so
good. Yeah, that's a good one, too. All right, Abe, do you think Do you think Shia LaBeouf or LaBeouf or LaBeef, or however you say his name? LaBeef? Okay.
We say Michael Scott style.
Right, right. Do you think he will ever transition into a true leading man in award caliber films, or do you think we are seeing him at the height of his career now?
That's a good question. I think that he's gone through several phases already where he's, you know, been Even Steven, and then he's moved into more serious roles, I guess, with, I heard Disturbia was pretty good. And
I really dislike Disturbia quite a bit.
You disliked it?
But yeah. He's not bad in it.
I think he is bad in it. I disagree.
You think so?
I think he's wildly inconsistent in that movie.
Huh. Okay. But, yeah, I think that we might be seeing him a little bit later when he looks, quote-unquote, a little bit more mature. I don't know. They keep on gassing him in roles where he seems to be still in his teens and 20s. Well,
all that hardcore drinking and sex he's going to be doing in all those movies.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, he apparently was sending Lars von Trier's like sex tapes of himself so he could be in the next film. So, yeah, maybe that's it.
I don't know if you saw. Did you see the trailer this week for Robert Redford's The Company You Keep?
Oh,
he's a reporter in that. It looks pretty good. So
okay,
you never know.
So he's working on his chops to be a leading man and more serious, huh?
Yeah, I kind of hope so for him because I think he's got potential. Yeah, you see it occasionally. I think his role choices up to this point have been ghastly, but I think there's potential there, so we'll see.
I would agree with you, Mark, and I think we'll get to this later in the Lawless review. But yeah, I think he's a capable actor. I'll put it that way.
Yeah, I agree with that, Aaron.
Yeah,
if you could be illegally producing and distributing anything that would make your fortune, what would it be? Corn, liquor, DVDs?
I would join the character from the classic episode 2, Attack of the Clones, and selling death sticks.
Okay.
Period. That is the end of that answer.
You want to buy some death sticks?
You don't want to sell me death sticks.
I don't want to sell you death sticks.
You want to go home and rethink your life.
I want to go home and rethink my life.
Abe.
Okay.
Would you rather go blind from drinking moonshine or get a Tom Hardy brass knuckle pounding?
Oh, oof. Ah, that's hard.
It would be hard to go blind from moonshine or get a Tom Hardy brass knuckle pounding.
It seems as though Tom Hardy is pretty kind and not completely just killing and destroying these guys, because they seem to have gotten back up.
You're still getting a Tom Hardy brass knuckle.
Yeah, I know, but I don't want to go blind. That's a hard one. I'd go with the Tom Hardy knuckle buster.
All right.
I'd just be like spurting and fountaining blood, but I mean, I'd get up from it.
By the way, pause. I forgot to mention this in the announcements, but Abe, you are now a black belt.
Yeah, that's correct. Yes.
Abe is now a black belt.
Congrats.
He is a black belt in Taekwondo, yeah. And congratulations, because that's probably no easy.
Oh, I want you and Adam to fight.
Adam is like a fourth degree or something.
Adam Gentry.
Yeah, but he's white, and you're Asian, so you should be like, you're like 8 degrees
he's
higher than him.
He's 6'4", and I'm like 5'6".
You're saying you're not scraggly enough to, you know?
You're scrappy, Abe, I believe it. Fight.
All right. Okay, Abe, go.
Okay, Mark.
Yes.
If your family back in the 1930s was a gang, and they'd probably be called the Johnsons, but what would you want a nickname for them to be?
Oh, jeez. See, a nickname? Well, based on my family's, amazingly good looks, I would say the Gorgeous Boys. How's that?
Sounds like a Broadway play.
Gorgeous Boys. I don't want to mess around with those gorgeous boys over there, you see.
Right, there you go.
They've got the slick back hair, see?
There's a lot of hot chicks like Jessica Chastain running around. I want to, you know, draw them with that name.
Yeah, I'm not going to disagree with you there.
right.
That was awesome.
I think the one clip they showed the trailer of Jessica Chastain is like the one time she's happy in the movie.
And even then, she's not very happy.
I know, right?
All right, Alan, what do you think Gary Oldman's best performance is to date?
Oh.
The question rises.
Dude, I don't know. Because then I think about one movie and then I think of another.
Oh, that is a tough question.
Dude, right? Like oh, you are good.
I've got three that are sticking out to me.
Yeah, but they're sticking out, but they're not sticking out enough for me to be like, oh, all right, I picked that movie. True Romance. I really liked him in that movie for the 2 minutes he's in it.
God, that's good.
Right?
But him and Sid Vicious is so good, too, and Sid and Nancy.
It's really seminal, but then...
I really
like his Dracula.
I really like him as Gordon in the Dark Knight movies. I mean, he's...
And to, yeah, I don't...
Like, especially Dark Knight. Like, he's great in that movie. Underrated.
What about The Professional?
That's the other one that stuck out to me.
I was going for Fifth Element too because I think he's just so cheesy and fun.
He's better than The Professional, I would say.
But still.
The best answer would have been everyone.
Right.
Benny, bring me everyone.
What do you mean, everyone?
Everyone!
That is the answer, actually. Everyone.
That's the perfect answer.
Oh my god, this just shows how great of an actor Gary Oldman is. The unborn. Yeah, done.
Okay. Okay. Aaron.
Yo.
Do you think that Alan Moore is going to be upset for how much Tom Hardy said "Herm" in Lawless?
Yes, but not enough, because he's still, like, you know, mad at Before Watchmen, so he's, like, really angry over there, like, in that camp. Mm. And then I'm pretty sure, like, I think everyone just spammed him emails about the Watchmen Collector's Edition Blu-ray that's coming out, so, like, he's probably mad about that now. He's like, oh, I gotta keep dealing with this movie. And Alan Moore's just grumpy in general, so, I mean, if anything, I hope he's writing a comic book for Grumpy Old Men 3. Like, if that's what he could be using his time to do. Grumpiest Old Men.
Still grumping?
Still grumping, still grumping. This time they're dancing in the movie. Okay. Actually, Alan, this question was for you.
So,
what's the myth you want people to think about you? When people say, like, Alan Aguilera, man, he... What?
Procrastinator.
Alan Aguilera. The procrastinator.
That means that you're always very punctual, right?
Yeah. Wait, what? No, I'm a Latino. I'm never on time. Clearly, today I wasn't on time.
Spoiler alert, Alan Aguilar is a Latino.
Yeah, no, I don't know. I guess, yeah, procrastinator, because I'm not invincible. I gotta, yeah, no. I can't, you're giving me nothing to work with, Aaron. I don't know what to say. Lazy.
All right.
But,
these are way more disparaging than I thought you'd think the myth about you would be.
Yeah. Caught me off guard. Okay. Abe.
Yes.
Based on your excitement level for Lawless and the opening of the award season, do you think this is a good precursor for what we're expecting the rest of the fall, or do you think it's going to get progressively better or worse?
You know, Lawless wasn't bad compared to the other films of the dregs of summer, so I think that it will get progressively better. And again, you know, we've seen a lot of content for The Master, which I'm quite excited for. I know that Mark Johnson is pretty excited for that one as well. So, I think it's going to get progressively better.
Yeah, cool. I'd agree with that answer. I can't imagine it not getting better from all of us. If that's a hint to how I feel about the film, but
okay, that's how we play into everybody. So let's we got a new I got a new segment got a new new Out Now segment we're gonna add into the fray of things we talk about. It's called Out Now Quickies, some kind of jingle, I guess.
trademark.
Yes, Out Now Quickies, trademark. This is a pretty simple one. You know, oftentimes there's a lot of movies coming out all around the same time, and we don't always talk about every one of them. But I know I see tons of movies, as it's required by me. but I'm sure our guests and Abe also, you know, see other movies as well. So I figured Out Now Quickies, we can, you know, quickly address some of the movies that may have recently come out that we saw in theaters. And I have two right offhand. I saw The Possession, the horror movie produced by Sam Raimi's Ghost House Pictures. And I'm just going to say right now, it's not good. Boom. It's a bad movie. I also saw Searching for Sugar Man, which Mark Hoban brought up on our previous week's episode. This is a documentary about a a popular music artist or someone who's, you know, became a kind of cult sensation to a certain part of the world. And it's a fantastic movie, Searching for Sugar Man. Go see that one. Don't see The Possession. Done. All right. Abe, anything?
Recently I watched Jiro Dreams of Sushi on Netflix streaming.
Oh, yeah?
That's a really good documentary. It just good in terms of the content, but also the cinematography is really well done. They have, like, a lot of soft shots, hard shots. It's just, you know, slow motion, really great shots of the food. The lighting is excellent. And it's a nice little documentary about this 85-year-old man who wants to take over, or wants his sons to take over his sushi restaurant, who apparently has, like, 3-star Michelin rating. And it's a nice little film.
Cool. Mark?
Yeah. Recently I got to see kind of two films that work as companion pieces for each other. One is in theaters now and one is on video now. And I would say for the crowd that's over 50, Hope Springs was the one that I would recommend. They both kind of deal with marriage and how things can become monotonous and crazy at times. So I think for the over 50 crowd, Hope Springs, you know, I wasn't the target audience for that one, so I can't recommend it for under 50, but I think the older crowd will get that one. And then the one I saw just last night at home was Friends with Kids, which I really liked a lot. I was really surprised. I wasn't expecting much. So for the under 50 crowd, I think Married with Kids, those kind of people will really feel those two films based on your age.
As someone that's neither married or with kids, I also enjoyed Friends with Kids. I thought that was
solid. Did you? Okay. That was solid. Great. Yeah.
Alan?
I just saw Paranorman, and that movie was fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Which this show cannot promote anymore. I mean, every week we have other guests talking about how great Paranorman is. So there you go.
I actually did a double feature with Paranorman, and then I went and saw Lawless right after for the second time. And Paranorman was still the highlight of that night. And then I ended up watching this documentary on HBO called Vito. Just a really, really kind of neat documentary about a homosexual like film school buff who wrote about homosexuals in early film and kind of was like taking it apart and kind of talking about it. Just really fascinating. It just caught me when I was watching TV randomly.
Is it like, oh. Vito, like V-I-T-O or D?
V-I-T-O.
V-I-T-O, Vito.
Yeah, it's on HBO On Demand. And I just randomly caught it when I was waiting to go to sleep, and I just couldn't go to sleep until I finished it. So it was really riveting. It was pretty cool.
Cool. All right, those are out now. Quickies. Done. It's quick. All right, let's move on to movie trailer talk. Where each week we discuss some of the newest movie trailers that have recently arrived. Let's see, we have two right here that I have ready for to go. Let's talk about the first one, Seven Psychopaths. This is the new film from, I was going to say Michael McDonough, but that's not right at all. The new film from Martin McDonough, who previously did In Bruges, which I believe is like an out-and-out favorite. Because that movie is fantastic, and this is his follow-up film, which stars Colin Farrell, Sam Rockwell, Woody Harrelson, Christopher Walken, Tom Waits, Abby Cornish, and Olga Kurylenko. And this movie looks like just a crazy dark comedy set in the criminal underworld that involves random gangsters and a kidnapped Shih Tzu. I can't wait for this movie. I am super excited. I love this cast. I love In Bruges, so I love Martin McDonagh's work. I love his short film, actually, that he won an Academy Award for. So, I mean, I'm super excited for Seven Psychopaths. But what does everyone else think? Alan?
I'm ready. I want to watch it. I'm excited. I loved In Bruges. It was probably one of my top three favorite movies that came out that year. I adored that film, and I cannot wait to see Colin Farrell act without an accent, because that'd be nice. Like, with his real, you know, Irish accent would be nice.
Does he have his Irish accent?
I think he does.
Like two different trailers. I've watched the green band and the red band, and I'm like, one time I thought it was Irish, the other time I thought it wasn't Irish. I'm not sure now. Regardless, no. I'm looking forward to seeing him in the movie, but I mean, I can't tell.
It seems like he's always better when he has his real, like when he doesn't have to pretend.
Yeah, we'll see.
Well, either way, I like the dude, and I can't wait. And then Christopher Walken looks amazing, and I'm just really, really pumped for this movie. Mark?
Yeah, I agree. I think Walken is going to be the key factor here. I have a feeling the whole film is going to hinge on how much screen time his character gets, because just from the trailer alone, it looks like a lot of fun, but it looks like it could end up a mess. You know, I'm a little worried about it, but it looks fun. Walken just looks hilarious, so I hope there's enough of him to, you know, keep us entertained and whatnot.
Yeah, I'm right there with Mark there. It's like, again, it looks crazy cool, and it looks like a lot of fun, but I hope that it's not just all glitz and glamour, and I hope that there's actually, you know, some good storylines in it other than just guys acting crazy. I love that the concept is that they're dog stealers for rich people, and the rich people would just pay them enormous amounts of money just to get their dogs back.
Great. Yeah, so I think we're all basically looking forward to this movie that just looks highly entertaining. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, Seven Psychopaths comes out October 12th. And, yeah, that's what's going on. Next up, we have the return of Clint Eastwood to the big screen with Trouble with the Curve, where I believe he plays a baseball scout who sits alone talking to chairs. Okay, so that's not really the plot. Man, Clint Eastwood, he was testing out some good stand-up material the other day. But the true story here of this film is Clint Eastwood plays an kind of an aging baseball scout whose daughter, Amy Adams, is kind of looking to, I guess, take up the business, and Justin Timberlake's involved in some way as well, and yeah, that's the read I got so far. John Goodman's in it also, good for him, and yeah, so reverse it up. Abe, what'd you think of this trailer?
It kind of takes Moneyball and throws that all out the window, because apparently you can't judge everybody just by numbers and metrics, but this movie, I don't know, I it kind of gives me a feeling of it's going to be a lighthearted comedy, but a lot of drama, but I'm not excited to see it. That's for sure.
Mark?
Yeah, Moneyball was the first thing that came to my mind as well, but with the opposite approach of gut instinct versus analytics instead. It looks like it could be a fun family film that, if everything works out right, you never know. Clint Eastwood, you know, has been beloved by Oscar in the past, so he's won, I think, 4 Oscars, but none for acting, so you never know if he could get a nomination out of it or whatnot, but it's gonna be a crowded year for a lead actor, that's for sure. So, but it looks overall looks good, if not bordering on cheesy. We'll see how it all plays out.
Alan,
I didn't know that Lifetime was promoting their movies before like actual movies. It's weird. No, it just doesn't. I don't really care at all. I don't know if Clint Eastwood really has a horse in this race anymore with what he did with the chair. I don't think Oscar's really gonna. I don't think they're gonna like look down on him, but I don't think he's really gonna be involved. Plus, the movie doesn't look good enough for him to get a nomination out of, because it just doesn't look that good. Amy Adams is not gonna get any recognition for this. She'll probably get recognition for The Master, and right. Justin Timberlake. Okay, I'm not interested. I remember when Aaron told me to, you know, these are the trailers we're talking about. I forgot that I've seen this trailer like 4 times. Halfway through, I'm like, oh, that's right. It's completely forgettable to me. So
not even an adorable Amy Adams is gonna perk you up for this one.
If I want to see an adorable Amy Adams, I'll watch The Muppets.
There you go.
This is very true.
This movie, it just seems superfluous to me. I don't need to watch it. I don't care.
All right. Well, I look forward to seeing you at MBFF to watch this movie. Yeah, I'm basically in the same kind of boat where it's like, yeah, this movie's it's around, I guess, and I'll have to see if it's not one that I'm like, I can't wait to see this movie. But the thing I know is that it's directed by I believe it's like Clint Eastwood's like his usual like first or second unit director, yeah. Like that he works with like on a lot of like a good majority of his movies. So I guess I think that's what probably coaxed Clint Eastwood to coming into like acting in a movie again. Since didn't he say that he was like done acting in movies? Let alone movies that he hasn't directed. Like really, this will be like the first time that he's been in a movie that he hasn't directed since what? The Secret Service movie? Was it
In the Line of Fire?
Is it that one?
I don't know.
I think so. I don't think he's acted.
Did he direct Space Cowboys?
Yes. Of course he did. Come on. Like, obviously. You don't see Eastwood's stamp all over it?
Oh, yeah.
Eastwood's signature style's all over Space Cowboys. Did he direct Bridges of Madison County?
Yeah.
He did, right? Yeah. All right, well, there you go. Trouble with the Curve comes out September 21st, so I'm pretty sure you can, like, double that with Dread 3D, because that'll be, like, really entertaining.
Perfect double feature.
Perfect one. Yeah, okay, so that's movie trailer talk, I guess that means we can move on to a review of The Lawless.
It's impressive.
I respect you, Brian Rast.
You want any more of this stuff?
As much as you can bring me.
That's $2,000, minus my commission.
Look at you, swanning around like you're Al Capone.
They say in town you're looking for someone to help out around the place. Well, Mr. Bondrin, do I get the job?
Seems you've been involved in certain illegal activities.
There's a new special deputy. You've been brought in from the city. Wants to work it out so everybody can do some business.
That's all.
I'm the one who's going to make your life real difficult from now on if you don't toe the line, country boy.
I'm a Bondurant. We don't lay down for nobody.
Those men that attacked you, they work for dangerous people.
There's a feeling around these parts that these Bondurants is indestructible.
Do you mean immortal? You any idea what a Thompson submachine gun does to a mortal?
We are survivors. We control the fear. But without the fear, we are all as good as dead.
Okay, so that should have been some of the trailer for the movie Lawless, which is based on a true story. This is the story of three bootlegging brothers, the Bondurants, played by Tom Hardy, Jason Clarke, and Shia LaBeouf. Their business is threatened when a corrupt Chicago lawman, played by Guy Pearce, attempts to kind of force them into paying him off for all the protection fees and what have you. And this kind of creates a rift between the Bondurants and the law. And nothing gets easier for anybody because of this, which includes Jessica Chastain, who's come in to work as a bartender in the Bondurants. You know, their legitimate business that they have going on along with their bootlegging. And but man, we're following Shia LaBeouf around as he kind of ascends into manhood. And of course, Tommy Gunn, Blast, and hijinks ensue. So let's start with Alan. What did you think of Lawless?
I liked it. I didn't love it, but I really enjoyed it. There were a couple moments in the film where I was like, really? But no, I enjoyed it. I liked the feel of it. I liked the look of it. I liked the dialogue. I liked the direction. I just don't think it really worked to in a level where I thought it was the best movie this year. But it was cool. I do like the attention to the detail. I do like the kind of somber tone that went through the film with little bursts of happiness with the Shia LaBeouf character, the Mia Wasikowska. That was kind of cool. I enjoyed all that, but it didn't really tie itself together. It was a huge ensemble cast, but I think Hillcoat's better with a singular vision, or at least a smaller vision like The Proposition or The Road. He just has a lot of things going on, and it's kind of hard to focus. When I wanted more of the Guy Pearce character, you kind of focus more on another character I really didn't care about. And the Gary Oldman mobster character kind of didn't need to be in the film at all. Abe?
I'm actually kind of there too. I liked it. I didn't really love it, and I think mostly because it seemed a little bit scattered in terms of a lot of story threads that I didn't. Some of them I cared for, some of them I didn't. And again, there were some characters in here, side characters, that kind of really don't go anywhere, and some of those were the most interesting characters. I also really like the screen presence of Guy Pearce. He's such he's like an OCD maniac and also incredibly, like, just a jerk in this film that it kind of comes off as overacting maybe, but I just found it to be really entertaining. There are some aspects that I liked about it, and there are mostly aspects that I would just was kind of like, are we just going to do this? Like, can we go on to some more interesting characters? So overall, it was okay. I didn't think that it was the most coherent story, but, you know, it seems to be like an adaptation of a book, so I guess I can't fault it for that.
Yeah, Mark, what did you think?
Okay, yeah, I agree with a lot of what Abe just said about there's some things I like about it, and then there's a whole lot of others that I don't. I think while the film admirably attempted to depict that the filth and grim desperation of Prohibition era Virginia, I think Lawless is trying to be more than the sum of its parts. It comes off formulaic and uneven, maybe is the best way to say it. the performances of Chastain, Oldman, and Harley are all great, and that was probably my favorite parts, but they're just very underused. And there's more story with Shia and Wasikowska's character that I was kind of less interested in what was going on there, and would rather have seen more of the other three. So I was a bit disappointed with it.
Yeah, I fell on the same page of Alan, basically. I think the movie is decent enough. It does a lot of good things, but it has some things that are kind of mediocre. I think, for one, Tom Hardy's great in this movie. That, like, hands down, he's great in this film. I love the the character he's created and how the kind of the myth about him kind of plays into the film and what he goes through. It's all very interesting to me. I was just upset that he's not the main character, because we have Shia LaBeouf, who's like, I don't think he's necessarily bad in this film, but I think when you're comparing him to people like Tom Hardy or even Jessica Chastain, he kind of pales again, or yeah, Guy Pearce is for sure. He somewhat pales in comparison, because you're following this character who's not as interesting as the others, and has, you know, the most familiar plot beats. Like, everything of all the other characters is kind of fun to watch. His story follows kind of a generic plot route, where you're like, okay, he's trying to become a man, and he has a love interest that doesn't need to be in this movie at all, and just these things that happen just kind of not necessarily slow the film down. I don't think the film moves badly. I just think it's not as much interesting when you're focusing on LaBeouf's character.
But no, I don't think he has similar plot beats. I don't know any other character in filmdom that was that freaked out about getting his feet washed. I don't know. I can't think. The only thing I can think about is Donnie Brasco, but that's only because he's a wire.
What about Jesus in The Passion of the Christ? Was there some foot washing going on in that? That was an uncomfortable moment. I can't remember.
What about or Scorsese's version as well?
You're right. But,
so I think we.
So you're saying that. So you're saying Shia LaBeouf is the new Jesus. All right, you're quoted.
Well, I'm pretty sure also Flanders is they take in Herb, Homer's half brother, and wash his feet before.
See, we've done this all before.
Oh, yeah. clearly, you've counted out all the classic feet washing scenes of cinema and TV.
I must not be thinking about it. You're right. I am so wrong.
But anyway,
from Tarantino movie.
The feet fetish that Tarantino has. But anyway, to get away from that for a second.
I changed my mind. I want my legacy to be Sidetracker.
There you go, Sidetracker. You could derail any conversation, that Alan Aguilera.
Derailer.
But yeah, the movie. Yeah, overall, I was warm enough to, because I did think it was entertaining. Actually, I thought it was an entertaining film. I just think it, when you're comparing other John Hillcoat films like The Proposition or The Road, while it is lighter in tone, like, you're certainly not walking away feeling like, you know, afterwards, I think the movie does benefit from being an entertaining feature, just not one that's going to position itself into, you know, the award season. It's one that works on a level of, hey, I'm seeing 20s gangsters battle each other with Tommy guns and, you know, some lightheartedness involving the basic, you know, character relationships and Guy Pearce, who's like a hoot in this movie, but mixed with really dirty violence. Like, the violence of the movie is not, like, it's not glamorized in any sense, except for maybe like the 1 minute scene with Gary Oldman at the beginning, where it's like, oh yeah, Tommy guns are cool, but after that, like, the violence is pretty rough.
Yeah, I think the thing that threw me off the most about what to think about the film was the comedy elements of it, and or I guess the humor elements of it, and I was kind of taken aback, because I was thinking to myself, oh wow, you know, The Road is pretty serious and The Proposition is pretty serious, but I'm kind of, is this a comedy? Is this like a play on like dark comedy? I think that they worked. It's just more of, it kind of made me think, I don't really know what to take away from this, the overall feeling of this film, especially like the ending kind of makes me feel that way too. I think we all had a problem with like the side character things. I really wish that Gary Oldman's character was in it more.
Yeah, I was surprised Gary Oldman's like third billed in the credits for this movie. He's in this movie for maybe 5 minutes. He's in this movie for...
He's excellent in those 5 minutes.
He is, yeah. He's in the movie less than Liam Neeson's in Battleship. Like, he's not in this movie.
That is true.
Gary Oldman is Gary Oldman, so he's going to do his thing. But, yeah, I wish... What's weird is, like, not only is he not in this movie, but there's no real wrap-up to his character. Like, he's introduced, like, pretty epically. Like, he's introduced, like a legend. Like, he comes in this movie... blasting Tommy guns, like, oh man, this guy's not, you don't want to mess with him. Then he comes in later on in the movie, and you're like, all right, so yeah, he did this. And that's it. Like, there's no, like, closure to his character. He doesn't, like, factor into the final act at all, like I thought he might have. It just kind of disappears from this movie, which is, like...
Okay, so you thought that he was going to have something to do with the end of the movie.
I thought that that seemed like a possibility, but I didn't think he was just not going to be in the movie anymore after a certain point. I didn't think that.
Right.
They could have almost replaced how... Are we allowed to do spoilers or no?
No, I wouldn't go too...
Okay.
You can spoil me.
Well, then I won't say what where I think they could have used him in the end instead of a different group of people that come. Is that too far?
No, that's fine.
No, that's fine.
I heard you say.
Okay.
Makes sense.
I think they could have used him there.
Yeah.
Let's talk more about Tom Hardy, because I want to
point out
how great he is in this movie. Tom Hardy...
He makes cardigans look tough.
Yes.
He does, yeah. He also still looks like he's got his bulk from Warrior and The Dark Knight.
I know this was made around the same time he was doing Dark Knight Rises. That's why he has the bulk on.
I think it was right before.
Right before.
It's either building up the bulk for Dark Knight Rises, you know, around it. But yeah, for sure he hasn't slimmed down in a while between this, the Warrior, and the Dark Knight Rises, for sure. But all this said, Tom Hardy's great in this movie. Like, everything he does, I'm, like, transfixed by. And it's weird because he's, like, both, like, being incredibly violent when he's, you know, has to deal with that. But even in, like, his more stoic or quiet moments where he's just kind of reacting to things, where he's staring at people, like, everything about him is interesting in this movie.
I mean, this is the part where someone gets into bed with him and he's just like...
Yeah, he has, like, both, like, the most violent movements in this movie and the most, like, hilarious moments of this movie.
He's, like, really... It's funny because he's, like, really, really kind of, like, gentle and sweet. Almost like with the Jessica Chastain character, with him, it's... He's like a pit bull. He's really aggressive, but very protective. Where if he can be very gentle and sweet and very passive with certain people, but you start crossing him and you start crossing the people he loves... He won't let go.
Here it is. As long as you are my brother, you will never let this happen again. Do you understand? I don't think you do.
What if I can't? I'm not built like you, Nard. I ain't never been like you.
It's all right. Jack, it is not the violence that sets a man apart. All right, it is the distance that he is prepared to go.
Yeah, so, he almost has just like a flash of madness when he's in his moment. And I think it was a few scenes where after he got done beating somebody, he would just say, all right, then, and then just kind of walk away. You know, it's kind of interesting. Like, he just came back to down to earth.
Yeah, it's almost like, I think with Lawless and a couple other movies recently, it's almost this idea of this very quiet, stoic, like in Drive, you're very quiet, you're stoic, but once you flip that on switch, it just goes straight to violence. And I don't know if that's like commentary on a modern male with what we want to be or how we want to picture ourselves. This very quiet man who can command a room, but the second you cross us or the people we love, we start breaking down. And I've noticed that's been a trend lately, and I think... I don't know, I think it's an interesting character study, but it's almost, the next couple times they do it, it's really going to lose its luster. I don't know.
I think it depends on the effectiveness of the film.
Yeah, because if they make Corky Romano 2, I don't think it's going to work.
Or Mask. Yeah.
I'm just saying.
CIA informant now, not FBI.
Mm-hmm. I hear it's going to be a crossover with the Master of Disguise. But what do we think of John Hillcoat's direction in this film?
I liked it, except he made some weird choices. Just too glaring. It's not really. I don't know if it's spoilery. There's a scene where a character's holding a doe, a baby deer.
Yeah.
I thought that was
because we saw this movie together, and I basically said, "Oh, fuck her!" Like that's
It was just heavy-handed, and then there's a scene where Shia LaBeouf is driving, and then it intercuts with like a scene of horses like running,
yeah,
or galloping.
Yes,
fam too.
Yeah, it's sorry, yeah, fam all this, but I like John, like I like John Hillcoat's work as a director, like his previous films, and it was like how he was just very unsubtle with this movie, which seemed like odd to me. Yeah, it makes me want.
It seemed like his first movie instead of his third movie.
It makes me. That's actually very. That's something I thought of actually quite a bit when I was watching. It was like, this feels like a movie that like he'd be making for the first time, where he, and then being able to follow it up. But it almost seems like he's gone in reverse. Like he's got to do this movie, which is kind of like fairly generic overall, even though it has good things in it. Then you do like The Road, where it's like. It's based off a book, so it has some kind of notoriety or whatever. And then he does his own personal movie that he's been wanting to do for years, which is The Proposition. Like, but instead, we've gone reverse order. So it's strange, the directorial choices he made, where he has things like that are like just not subtle in terms of how he's portraying these things in shots. That said, the movie's beautiful. Like, it looks great. Like, I love this period setting in general. Like, I love 20s, 30s gangster kind of movies, and I love the idea of setting this kind of movie in a rural environment. Like, that's neat to me. And I was happy that, you know, it does look good. It's a well photographed movie, getting beyond some of the camera choices that he made or shots that he made.
Yeah, and if you're on the fence about whether you should see it or not, there is a Jessica Chastain scene that might make a difference.
Yes. Let's get to Jessica. Thank you, Mark.
Not gonna lie, that was great.
It's a good scene. Let's get to Jessica Chastain. What did we think of her in this movie? Because I think it'd go either way on how much you appreciated her performance.
She can do no wrong.
Okay.
From the little I've seen of her so far, she's just outstanding in everything. And like you mentioned, she plays more of a, you know, woman on the run, unhappy, type character. But I mean, everything she does, she like Tom Hardy, or maybe even like a Gosling or Fassbender, anything these people make, I'm gonna be there to see, because they're just fascinating to watch.
They say in town you're looking for someone to help out around the place. Is that position still vacant?
Forgive me for asking, but, what's a lady like you want here?
City can grind a girl down. Gets to a point where you start looking for somewhere quiet.
So I'm on board with her all the way.
I think she was good. I think it was kind of a little bit of a one-note performance, except for a little, like, burst, but it was great. I liked her on screen.
Yeah, I definitely liked her screen presence as well. I just think that it was just... It's kind of awkward. There's, like, a tense moment toward the climax of the film, and I was just kind of curious as to the dialogue choices. So, I'm not sure. But, yeah, I liked her performance.
Yeah, I would agree as well, because I think she gets a lot. She does a lot with a little. Like, she doesn't. There's a lot of moments where she's just not talking in this movie, and I feel like that could be irritating to some. But I feel like for me that worked. Like, I was able to kind of gather everything I needed to know about her within like the first few moments, and then some like scattered lines here and there, kind of added on to who she is. And I liked her. I think she was quite good. I think they went with a less is more approach for her character, and I think it worked for the movie.
Yeah, it's definitely more of a subtle performance where you're almost more just watching her movements than listening to her speak. You know, she had The Help, which was more of a, you know, loud kind of character. And then, like, you know, The Tree of Life, this does tie in more to that film, where she's just more a presence than she is a character. And I think that's what's fun to watch with her in this one.
Now, the same can't be said for Mia Wasikowska, I don't think. I don't think she's necessarily bad. I just think there's no reason for her to be in this movie, and I think she drags it down.
Mark had mentioned that earlier too, and I was just thinking to myself, yeah, that's exactly what I thought too. I'm not too sure exactly what the purpose of this. I know what the purpose of the storyline is between Shia LaBeouf, and Mia is, but it just took away from more interesting things of the brothers, the moonshining. The law guys, and for example, I mean, I think that you don't see Guy Pearce for an extended period of time, and that kind of just, for me, I felt as though it was just a kind of like a wash. It didn't propel the story to where I wanted it to go. So, you know, she's not bad, she's not terrible, but it's just not necessary.
It's not her, yeah. It's just the part, the role. It's just, yeah, it takes some time in this movie where I'm like, why can't I see more Gary Oldman? Like, why can't I see that? Abe, did you notice who played Cricket?
Yes, yeah. I was going to be like, dude, he should just use his superpowers.
Yeah. The Andrew from the film Chronicle, the character Andrew from Chronicle, mm-hmm. plays this character named Cricket, who is basically, he's kind of a simpleton in the Bond. Like, is he like the cousin? Is that what he is? Or is he
I think
a
he's
friend?
Their cousin or something like that, because he lives on the property with them.
Yeah, he kind of helps out with the bootlegging operation going on with the Bondurants, and he's in this movie. And, I mean, he was fine. Like, it was just funny. It's like, oh, Andrew's here. All right, that's neat. small.
And I think that his performance, like, he gave a pretty good performance, too.
Yeah, I would say so for what he has to do. Yeah.
And he plays, like, a person who had rickets, and he does it pretty well. It's pretty convincing.
Let's talk about Guy Pearce. We haven't mentioned Guy Pearce at all, who's wonderfully over the top of this movie. Guy Pearce plays the kind of corrupt shot. He's the villain. He's very much the villain. He's so villain. How villain is he? He's so villain that he does bad things in this movie that are horrible. And what Guy Pearce, he plays a very like immaculately dressed person. He likes to keep himself very clean, despite the fact that he's happy to like just be able to pound the crap out of people. And everything about like his accent, the way he has his hair like completely like blackened and parted down the middle to like a science, like it's ridiculous. But I really enjoyed Guy Pearce in this movie. It was maybe if the movie was darker in tone, then it would maybe be too much because he's so cartoony. But I think that the humor in this movie, or like at least the lighthearted elements in the movie counterbalanced it enough where Guy Pearce worked overall for me.
Yeah, Guy Pearce is just, he's crazy in this movie, and I literally mean that. It's just, you're right, at first I was thinking, his hair is really black, and then later you see him just dyeing it, and then his part in the middle is not really just a normal part, it's actually
like a huge,
quite wide, But his dialogue is just really funny, because he's just calling everyone a rube. He thinks that people in in Virginia don't know, like, how things are done. He's thinking, oh, wow, you know, you don't know what invincible means, and...
There's a feeling around these parts that Forrest Bondurant is different than other folks.
Different?
Indestructible.
Do you mean immortal? Shit, you hicks are a sideshow unto yourselves. Sheriff, you any idea what a Thompson submachine gun does to a mortal?
Well, this ain't Chicago. You can't just shoot him. Do that, people around here will string us up from a tree.
Do I look stupid to you?
He's so outlandish, and he's the city folk, if you will, and it just makes it incredibly, like, it's a captivating performance, and I kind of wish that I could have seen more of his stuff, even though he kind of goes off the rails and becomes a huge jerk, which I didn't like, but he's a threatening guy. There's a scene with him and one of the brothers.
A huge jerk.
Yeah.
He's not coming to my birthday party. Like,
he's the one that sends you a card with, like, nothing in it, just like, happy birthday, Guy Pearce. But, there's a scene where he's having an altercation with one of the characters, and I was actually pretty tightly wound up in that scene because I didn't really know where it was going to go. So it was pretty good performance.
I'll say this. If that scene ended a different way, this movie would have been amazing. I think like that would have been a huge.
Yeah, like, I think I have a feeling what you're talking about.
Yeah, that would have been that would have thrown a huge thing in the machine, just stopped it dead and be like, whoa, this is the movie we're watching. All right. Like that would have been crazy. That makes me want to see that version of the movie now.
I was thinking that it might go down that road.
Like, what if it did that? That's such a... I know we're being so teasy about what it could have been, but if people that have seen this movie, I think I have an idea of, like, what if it did that?
Yeah. What did you guys think of the middle brother, Jason Clark?
I wish he got more development, but that said, I enjoy just knowing what he means when he's in... But then again, he's also kind of like... It's kind of, well, no, because I guess he's just off the chains all the time, as opposed to Tom Hardy, who's like only off the chains when he needs to be. So,
yeah, there's a great part where these two sheriff guys come out and they talk to Tom Hardy, and Tom Hardy is like, "Have you met my brother Howard?" And for a second there, I was thinking to myself, "I think that somebody's walking up the stairs, like in the theater."
Yeah, the sound. Yeah.
Wow. And then later I realized, oh, that's clever the way that they did that in the film, because he just comes bursting out.
The soundtrack by Nick Cave, who also wrote the film, I enjoyed it. I mean, it helps that Nick Cave's, you know, a very good musician. But I was happy. I liked the tone that it brought to the film. I liked the various tracks. I was digging it.
I was kind of thrown off by it, actually.
You thought so? Do you think it was too modern?
The lyrical tracks I was kind of thrown off with. I was like... I guess it's like southerny, folky, but then the instrumental stuff, I was down with that. So I was kind of mixed on the soundtrack.
I like the bringing the kind of more modern sensibility into it. It just kind of gave it its own identity.
Did you stay to the end to listen to the Willie Nelson song?
I didn't. I left.
Okay.
The audio cut out on ours because there was a Q&A on our screening, but
Cool.
So they brought it down. But I did get the soundtrack actually, so I've heard the Willie Nelson song.
Yeah, it's decent. I mean, there's talk already about possible Oscar push because he's only been nominated once, and you know he's a country icon. And with the Weinsteins being behind this film, and
it's a possibility.
Yeah, they pretty much get what they want when it comes to Oscar.
Oh, and that said, you want to talk about the Oscars song thing that happened? I know there's a
Oscars song. Well, that category has had all sorts of controversy around it for years of what qualifies and whatnot. If you remember last year, they only had two nominees.
Two, yeah.
And really, you know, the one that everybody was expecting from the Muppets, that Life's a Happy Song, wasn't even one of the choices. So they've kind of tweaked the rules a little bit on that. It still seems like there's going to be some controversy around it, but at least now we have a for sure five nominees.
Yeah, that's nice.
So that's pretty nice. At least that'll help include something that might have been on the bubble last year. The way they did it before was a certain scoring system to where if it didn't receive a certain score or higher on average, they didn't have to have more than two nominated. So last year, apparently, they hated the selection. So, but now we'll have at least five.
Of which there were so many good selections last year. It was just not in the way. But anyway, that's cool. Right. Yeah, I'm looking at now I need to find out if Oogie Loves has a song in it that can have potentially be nominated. But we'll see.
Oh, my Lord.
Anything else regarding Lawless? It looks like we're all kind of like, yeah, it was all right. I admit it, but...
Right.
Well, I had a lot of expectations for it because I really like the book. And
I should say the film is based off a true story, which is based on a book, The Wettest County in the County?
Wettest County in the World.
Wettest County in the World by Matt Bondurant, who's he's a distant relative of the original Bondurant brothers. The grandson of, I believe, LaBeouf's character.
I think so. I had a lot of expectations for it because it's something I really wanted to do. Like, in my head of me making a movie, like, to something that was my wheelhouse. And it just didn't really live up to my expectations that way. I mean, it wasn't bad, but it wasn't great. So it was almost a mild disappointment.
Yeah. My final thought is just when I realized that the direction was... not the direction of the director, but the direction of the film was moving toward this being a personal story for one of the characters that I was least interested in. That kind of took me out of the movie.
Yeah, I'd say the same thing. If the story would have focused a little more on some of the other characters that it kind of uses as a side story, I think we might have seen something a little bit better. But nonetheless, it was still entertaining enough to sit through.
All right.
Cricket was more fascinating than Shia LaBeouf.
There goes another chat right there.
All right, so... I think that'll do it then for our review of Lawless. We'll try to rate the movie now. Each looking out now, we try to rate films based on when you should go and see them, and we have a scale that goes from IMAX to theater, dollar theater, Netflix, HBO, TV, or just kind of forget about it. So on that scale, Alan, where would you put that film?
Probably dollar theater.
Abe?
I'd say Netflix.
Mark?
Yeah, Netflix is probably where I would recommend this one as well.
I'd stick with dollar theater as well. So that's our thoughts on Lawless. We'll kind of come back to it right now because we're going to do a little movie callback.
Callback.
And this is where we discuss a couple films that relate in some way to the main feature of the week. And Alan, you have any movies that come to mind when you're watching Lawless?
Yes. Tree of Life because Chastain, Dark Knight Rises and because of Gordon and Bane. I had a callback to Last Man Standing, the Bruce Willis movie.
Yeah.
Nice. That's what I kept thinking, and all I kept thinking about was, "Wow, Boardwalk Empire comes out in 2 weeks." Boardwalk. I was like, "Oh, that's gonna be really cool." There was that, and then obviously a little thing like the other Guy Pearce roles in The Road and Proposition, and kind of how that worked out. Oh, and a little bit of Assassination of Jesse James.
See, I thought Jesse James too. That's on my list.
Yeah, because I thought a little bit of that because Nick Cave was actually in that movie for a little bit, so that was pretty cool. But yeah, just that kind of stuff.
I'll go for mine. Yeah, The Proposition came up. Jesse James came up. Didn't really, I thought of films that were better. But Miller's Crossing as well, just because I really love that time period. And Miller's Crossing For people that haven't seen that movie, that's one of the Coen brothers' earlier works. It's like the third movie they did. That movie is fantastic, Miller's Crossing. It's underrated in their canon, I'd say. But and, you know, Coen brothers have made some really great movies. I also thought Dick Tracy, just because I thought Guy Pearce was almost like cartoony enough where he could fit as in like one of the Dick Tracy villains. He could be like part hair, something like that. And let's see, I thought Badlands, just because kind of the rural setting and kind of what was going on there, and some of the imagery, and the Road to Perdition came to mind as well. Yeah, basically all films are better than this movie.
Yeah, one of the ones that came to mind for me is one of the best movies of all time. So I don't mean to compare it quality wise, but I thought it had a lot of ties to like The Godfather, where, you know, it's a family in crime where the youngest brother is being held out of the show until he proves himself on his own. And then kind of, you know, leads them to, you know, without, don't mean to do too many spoilers on that, but where the youngest brother kind of, you know, makes a move after being held back. Another one more recently than that would be Public Enemies, with Johnny Depp, just kind of the same era and the romance going on between Marion Cotillard and Johnny Depp, while Christian Bale, who is pretty much the opposite end of the spectrum that Guy Pearce's character is.
Yeah, most straight-laced guy there is. Yeah,
hunting him down and whatnot. So those were the two that I kind of thought of while watching it.
Yeah, not going to lie, I actually thought of The Godfather as well, but I just didn't want to bring that up because The Godfather is so much better. and mostly because, like, yeah, you have the hothead first son. Right. I think like it kind of switches because I almost got the feeling of Vito being, you know, Shia because I can do it. I'm smart. And it's just like, no, man, stay out of this stuff. Being Fredo. But the other movie I thought of was Four Brothers because of the that weird aspect of, oh, man, we got to watch out for each other kind of thing.
I like Four Brothers, by the way.
I like
I
it,
really
too.
Like that movie.
Andre 3000 is great in it. And
how is it that every other time I'm on the show, you guys always mention Four Brothers?
Is Mark Wahlberg a fan of the show now? Friend of the show now? No. Not yet. Okay. Yeah, so...
Headland, though.
It'll happen, yeah.
I'm like a Sea Scary Headland.
Yeah, so Four Brothers. Okay. And The Godfather, I guess.
So what is this movie called, The Godfather? Did that come out a couple years ago? Or?
It's a little indie drama. It stars Alfred...
Did they make it stars based out- on... Stars who?
Oh, Alfred Pacino, James King, Robert Duvall.
So did they make it based off the success of The Departed?
Marlon Brando Wayans.
Yeah. It was actually directed by like Martin Scorsese's understudy.
Yeah, Frankie Coates.
So it was inspired by like American Gangster and stuff, right?
Yeah, American Gangster.
Oh, okay. I think I know about this. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, and a little bit of Smoking Aces.
He actually makes a cameo in it.
Yeah, Denzel produced. I think it's scored by the RZA.
Oh, good, good. Okay, I'm so excited.
Okay, let's kind of keep that going. That's our movie callback. Let's move on to box office. each week we try to go over our box office results and predictions. We didn't make any predictions last week because we didn't really have a regular episode last week, and we figured why try. I think we just kind of forgot about it. Well, we did box office so early, that's why we didn't do anything.
Yeah, but also
we didn't even know we were going to talk about
this stuff. Yeah.
So anyway, The Possession came in number one. Movie sucks, guys. came in with $17 million. Lawless came in number two with $9 million. Expendables 2 still making money, I guess. $8 million. Born Legacy, $7 million. Paranorman, $6 million. Nice for Paranorman, still staying in there. Timothy Green, Dark Knight Rises, Campaign, Obama's America, and Hope Springs are rounding out the top 10. Premium Rush, unfortunately bombing out of theaters.
Not rushing.
Really?
Yeah, that said, it only debuted at 8th place last week, and it only dropped like 35%, so that's not bad. And if that movie debuted higher, that means it would have stayed in longer. Just saying, because it's not that the movie's bad, it's that not enough people are seeing it. Because that movie's fun. We had a lot of fun watching it.
Yeah, we had fun with it.
Yeah. So,
what place is it now?
It's at 11. Okay. Out of the top 10.
So I should go watch Premium
It's
Rush.
A fun movie. I recommend it.
You got really high-pitched there.
Because it's a fun movie.
Michael Shannon does his best.
Michael Shannon's amazing in that movie. He's so good. Yeah. He's a better villain than... I liked him more than I like Guy Pearce in this movie.
That's true.
Okay.
So do you think it's going to be, do you think he'll be up for an Academy Award?
Obviously. Okay. Like, on my radar.
He's Michael Shannon.
It's Michael Shannon, guys. Best supporting actor, I see it coming right now. Put that in award circuit, Mark.
Mark, I'm not going to do that.
I'll keep him on my radar.
I'm sure they're gonna really promote that campaign for him. Okay, so let's move on now to, what do we have here? What time is it?
Ooh, is it that time? That time for some games?
Oh, yeah. It's game time. We haven't done games in a while. Let's do some alternate movie titles.
All right.
Okay, there's three of you. This should be challenging. Alternate movie titles is the game where I have a list of movie titles that are, I've created alternate versions of them, and you have to figure out what these movies are. Abe is quite good at this game, but I've tried to make them tougher, so between the three of you, we'll see who can get these. You guys all ready?
You're going down, Abe.
Okay, yeah, I like that. There you go. That's what I want to hear. All right, here's the first one. The guy who is no longer around.
The man who wasn't there.
The man who wasn't there. On the board.
Mark Johnson is bringing his A game.
I tried to warn you.
Okay. Here's the next one. Another day plus 60 minutes.
Tomorrow in a day? Tomorrow in an hour? No.
Another 48 hours.
25th hour.
25th
hour.
25th hour.
Boom. Alan Aguilera is up.
What's
the
up?
Floor.
What's up?
All right. Here we go.
It's on.
Oh, this one's terrible. I forgot I wrote this one. He's certainly not outside.
Inside man.
Boom. Good, it was a tie, so you just both get points. Abe gets nothing. Okay, so we're still going. Here we go.
Good work.
Enigma people.
Mystery Men?
Mystery Men is correct.
Oh, wow.
Johnson's bringing it today. Here we go. Okay.
Woo!
Here's the last one. If Mark gets it, we'll see. We'll see what we can do here. The final person upright.
Last man standing.
Last Mark.
Mark Johnson completely demolished the competition.
I don't want to brag, but I'm the greatest board game player of all time.
Oh my god, you got to fly over to Southern California and be part of our game nights that I have. Okay, here we go. Let's do some ABCs of movies.
That's good.
Okay, ABCs of movies is where we go down the list of the ABCs and name a corresponding movie one at a time. So I would start A for Alien, Abe would go B for, I don't know, Breakfast Club, and so on. Okay? That's how they
Isn't
keep...
it The Breakfast Club?
Is it The Breakfast Club?
I think it's The Breakfast Club.
Okay,
which
yes, that would be against the rules because we cannot use the unless it's the letter T.
Oh, so, really?
That is the trick of this game that you must remember. You can't use the. Unless it is letter C.
Yeah, it's the.
So not the A team.
Exactly.
I can't.
Yeah, you have to use the A to use a movie.
What about Disney's Alice in Wonderland?
No, that doesn't count either. Okay, so as always,
I just pick favorites.
As always, we'll go in alphabetical order. So myself, then Abe, then Alan, then Mark. Do we all understand how this game is played?
Yes.
Do they have to connect to the previous one somehow?
No. Or just no? Have to be a movie that has the right letter of the alphabet.
Okay.
And of course, time is necessary. So take too long, you're out. Okay. Here we go. ABCs of movies. I'm going to start. A is for Alien 3.
B is for Brave.
C, Cocoon.
D is for Deep Blue Sea.
E is for Enigma. That's a movie.
F is for Fargo.
G is for Ghostbusters.
H is for House on Haunted Hill.
Igby Goes Down.
J is for Jumanji.
Hold on, wait. Is it The House on Haunted Hill?
No, it's House on Haunted Hill.
Right. What'd you say, Abe?
J is for Jumanji.
Right, it is.
K is for Killing Them Softly.
All Out.
What?
Wait, what?
All Out. It's not out yet, but All Out.
Oh, okay. I have a...
I know, it's fine. Go for it. You're good.
L is for Lawless.
Hey-o.
Hey-o.
Memento.
N is for Night Watch.
O is for O. I'm using that.
P is for People Like Us.
Quantum of Solace.
R is for... Red...
You're out, because that took way too much for R. Okay,
now do I jump on R, or do I do
Yeah,
that?
You jump on R.
Real Steel.
S is for Superman, the movie.
Nice. The Terminator.
Underworld.
V for Vendetta.
Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
X-Men.
Young Frankenstein.
Zardoz. Back to A.
Okay. Australia.
Let's see. Beverly Hills Cop.
Caddyshack.
Double Indemnity.
Let's see. Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Oh, it's me. Frankenweenie.
I'll allow it.
Allow it. Gone Be Gone.
So I'm on H. Happy Feet.
I, Robot.
Jaws.
King Kong.
No. Limitless.
Oh, Mystery Men.
Never Say Never Again.
One for the Money.
Public Enemies.
I got nothing. You, I don't know. I got nothing for you.
Oh, it's me. Quicksilver.
Is that a movie?
Yes.
Yeah, it's Kevin Bacon,
yep,
right?
It's the other bike movie.
Resident Evil.
Stardust.
Transformers.
What am I on?
You.
Yuli's Gold.
Victor Victoria.
Women in Trouble. That's a rant pull.
Xanadu.
You've Got Mail.
Zathura.
Okay, let's do numbers. One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Oh, okay. All right, Dick, I think you won.
Two for the Money.
There is no Two for the Money.
Yeah, there is with Matthew McConaughey.
There was also Two If by C, that Dennis Leary one, right?
Isn't that, I can do number games for days. That's fun. Okay, I win, I guess.
Yeah. Woo! Well, I wasn't ready for numbers. I was like, okay.
I had to speed the game up. We keep going.
I wasn't ready for numbers either.
I wasn't ready
next
for this.
Next time you'll be ready. Next time we'll just go straight to numbers after we get to Z.
If we got up to 310, that would have been fine.
I'm going to name it all. I don't think I want to ruin the game for next time. All right, okay. So let's move on to what we're going to talk about next week. We have no idea.
next week.
Yeah, next week the Words comes out with B-Coops, fan favorite B-Coops, but I don't think we're going to talk about the Words, which I think I see on Tuesday, actually. And I think there's something called The Cold Light of Day with future Superman, Henry Cavill, and Bruce Willis coming out, but I don't know about that one.
The Superman curse has already struck Henry Cavill.
Yeah. So we're at a loss right now. We might talk about Record 3, which all recently came out, and if you haven't seen the Record movies, the Spanish zombie films, they're quite good, and the first two are especially good. So that's kind of in wide release. I guess VHS also came out on Video On Demand, which I have seen, and Abe might see that. We might go to talk about that movie, another horror film. It's like an anthology found footage movie, which is interesting. Or we don't want to talk about something completely different. I have no idea what we'll talk about next week, but we'll figure something out and maybe update accordingly. That's happening anyway. Because we like to give our audience as many episodes as possible.
Speaking of which, we have something very special planned for a very special 25th anniversary.
Yeah, we have something else coming out that we're also going to be doing this week. Oh my god.
Yeah, it's going to be a packed week.
Yeah, it is. We'll figure that out. We'll update accordingly. So, yeah, what a lost way to end the episode on, but that's going to do it this week, Brad, now Barrett and Abe. You can find more of my work at my personal blog, thecodeofzeke.com, where you can find all my written movie reviews, as well as at whysoblue.com for other written reviews and Blu-ray reviews, and I've also posted my own summer movie article as well, which is available there. I'll probably link it in the show. Or the summer episode, too. That makes more sense. You can find me on Twitter at twitter.com/AaronsPS3. Abe?
You can find more fun stuff at walrusmoose.blogspot.com and twitter.com/walrusmoose.
Alan?
You can find me on Twitter at MrDVD, MRDVD.
And
Mark.
Mark?
You can follow me on Twitter at MJ Award Circuit, and I write right now for awardscircuit.com, which is that Oscar site we talked about earlier.
Great. And, of course, you can find all the other episodes of Out Now with Aaron and Abe on iTunes at hhwlod.com, where you can find all our episodes there, as well as the episodes of the other great shows on the network, including the Walking Dead TV podcast and the Legion of Dudes and other shows that talk about games and comics and other fun stuff. It's a bunch of cool guys who we're happy to be involved with. Also, most of the newest episodes and some exclusives can be found on outnow.podomatic.com. Feel free to email in at outnowpodcast@gmail.com. It's always happy to get any kind of questions, suggestions, comments, what have you. And you can further leave those at our Facebook and Twitters, facebook.com/outnowpodcast and twitter.com/outnow_podcast. Feel free to leave any updates, whatever, there. It's all good. We, of course, update that site constantly. I like that Abe's also been live tweeting a lot of our episodes recently, so it's been enjoyable to be a part of our Twitter page. And that's gonna do it. Thanks guys for coming on today.
Yeah guys, thanks.
Yeah, thanks Yay. Again for having me.
Yeah, for sure. Hope to get Mark back on soon too. It's been too long, and if Mark can keep crushing Abe in the alternate movie titles.
I used 3 exclamation marks in a live tweet.
I believe he was shut out, wasn't he?
I believe, yes. Alan just destroyed him. It was...
Yeah. I felt like Jessica Chastain.
after a knuckle pounding from Tom Hardy, am I right? Okay, so misogyny aside, that's going to do it this week for Out Now, Aaron and Abe. Until next time, so long.
And goodbye. 1, 2, 3.
I believe he was shut out, wasn't he?
I believe, yes. Alan just destroyed him. It was...
Yeah. I felt like Jessica Chastain.
Oh.
After a knuckle pounding from Tom Hardy, am I right?